dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise Audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online to our website, www.equip.org. Register soon, as cabins are limited. Thanks for tuning in once again to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry dedicated to proclaiming essential Christian doctrine and for providing a reasoned defense for historic Christianity with gentleness and respect. And now, from the headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We are in the Lenten season, and I would like to put a book into your hands titled Third Day, Reality of the Resurrection. It is a book that, as you travel through the pages, you will discover very quickly that there are attacks on resurrection ranging from Judaism, which swears the resurrection never happened, to the Jehovah's Witnesses, who suggest that Jesus' physical body was discarded or destroyed or just dissolved into gases, to Jesus Seminar fellows who say that the resurrection is just mere wishful thinking, that Jesus was thrown into a shallow grave, barely covered with dirt, and eaten by the wild dogs that roamed the resurrection grounds. But when you get done reading this book, you're going to have encountered all of the evidence necessary to demonstrate not only that Christ's resurrection is an immutable fact of history, but that your resurrection is just as certain. What I do in the book is demonstrate in memorable fashion that far from being a gargantuan fraud, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest feat in the annals of recorded history. Of course, resurrection is a reality for everyone. The death rate is one per person. Everyone alive is going to make it. But here's the deal. Some will be physically resurrected to eternity with the Savior in a new heaven and a new earth, and others to eternal separation from the Savior. I would never have the temerity to voice those words, but I'm simply repeating what Jesus Christ himself said. Do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. So I urge you to read The Third Day and realize that the resurrection is not merely an important issue. An understanding of the biblical nature of resurrection will literally transform the way you live your life today. In fact, the early first century believers had seen the resurrected Christ, and it utterly transformed them from scared, scattered disciples to lions of the faith. They turned an empire upside down. And I think the same thing would happen to us if we recognized resurrection. We would know that there's no point In living for mean earthly vanities, we would elevate our gaze to eternal verities. Again, the third day, the reality of resurrection, it's available in many different formats, hardcover, audiobook, Spanish. You can check it out with our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or you can just mail me, write me, P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. Again, that's zip 28271. Let's go right to our phone callers. First up is Wesley, listening on WMCA, Bronx, New York. Hi, Wesley.
How you doing, Hank?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. I'm calling. I'm 28 years old. God came into my life around a little over 3 years ago. And since then, I could say that God has shown me a lot in Scripture. But one of the biggest problems I have is witnessing the friends, especially friends that follow false doctrines, such as Roman Catholicism. So I was wondering if there's kind of a technique that you have to witness to Roman Catholics, because from what I see, there's such there's a lot of false belief in it, but I don't know exactly where to begin and, you know, things of that nature. So I can see when I talk to them, you know, I could talk about a million different things and they look a little confused because, in my experience, a lot of them really don't study the Bible. They just, you know, they just participate in the church's events and things of that nature. So I was wondering if you could kind of draw maybe, you know, a technique that I can use to talk to them.
Yeah, first of all, humility. Because while you're right that a lot of Roman Catholics do not read the Bible, it is also true that many Roman Catholics do. And the same thing that could be said for Roman Catholics is unfortunately true for Protestants. There are all kinds of Protestants who never crack their Bible. They go to church color-coordinated with their Bibles, but they don't get into the Word of God or get the Word of God into them. So I think there has to be some genuine humility that we express as we witness with gentleness and with respect. Secondly, I think what's critical, of course, is soteriology. There are many Catholics, just like there are many Protestants, who believe in a crass system of works righteousness, but not so official Roman Catholic soteriology, which essentially says that we are saved by God's grace alone, but that grace produces in the life of the believer faith infused with works, and the works are meritorious. And therein lies the problem. And you have all kinds of attendant problems that come from that. And I think that the issue here is that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. There's nothing I can do to work my way into God's righteousness, whether I'm a garden variety pagan, a Protestant, or a Roman Catholic. Jesus is the bridge between our sin and God's holiness. Only Jesus can span that chasm through his sacrificial atonement on the cross. So I think that's the major thing that has to be dealt with. And I think also you have to deal with this issue of traditions. There's nothing ultimately wrong with traditions, but traditions must always be tested in light of the final court of arbitration, which is the Word of God. So the infallible repository for redemptive revelation is not the traditions of men, but rather the Word of God. So a tradition like purgatory, which incidentally, according to Roman Catholicism, is not taught in the Bible. If you go to the New Catholic Encyclopedia, there's an acknowledgement, a tacit acknowledgement, that the doctrine of purgatory is not explicitly stated in the Bible. And therefore, they depend on the testimony of the fathers or on tradition. But I think that tradition needs to be tested because Jesus said it is finished. And purgatory says something else. It denies the total sufficiency of Christ's atonement on the cross. So when you get these traditions, you have to say, am I going to believe a tradition or am I going to test the tradition? And am I going to ride two horses, tradition and the Word of God, or am I going to depend solely on the Word of God as the infallible repository for redemptive revelation?
Yes. Hank, let me just ask you this. The first point you made about being a works gospel, when I talk to them about it, it seems like it's unavoidable, because I guess it is the truth, that I talk about the doctrine of election. And then, you know, when you start to talk about that, you know, people kind of run away from you. So I don't know. It seems like it's an unavoidable issue, you know, especially in talking to a lot of Roman Catholics in particular. So would you say that, you know, you would have to come out and speak about that doctrine?
Well, I think the issue here is not whether election is a biblical doctrine. Election is a function of a relationship to Jesus Christ. And therefore, everyone believes in election, but they have different views on election. And the same thing is true with predestination, which is the broader category. Election is a subset of predestination. All Christians believe in predestination and in election. The question is, on what basis are we elect? And that's where the debate comes in. But I would say this is a debate that we can have vigorously without ultimately dividing. There are parameters for election that keep us within the pale or the bounds of orthodoxy. And again, some say that God elects in accordance with his foreknowledge. In other words, he sees what we will do and chooses us on that basis. Others say no, that God elects for his own purpose and predilection. Then there are others like myself who say election is a function of our relationship to Christ, in that it is Christ who is the elect one, and we are elect by virtue of being found in Jesus Christ. Much more could be said. Enjoy the conversation, Wesley. Unfortunately, I'm up against a hard break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more of your questions. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. If you can stand with us prayerfully and financially, it would be deeply appreciated. As my thanks for joining the Bible Answer Man monthly support team, I'd love to send you memorable keys to essential Christian doctrine so you can know what you believe and why you believe and keep this ministry touching lives for time and for eternity. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back.
Islam and Judaism swear that the resurrection of Jesus Christ never happened. Jehovah's Witnesses claim that Jesus' physical body was discarded, destroyed, or dissolved into gases. Jesus Seminar fellows laugh it off as mere wishful thinking. What is the truth? What if Jesus was not raised from the dead? If that's the case, there's no Christianity, no heaven, no hope, and no future. It all boils down to what happened on the third day. Read this riveting account and you'll be equipped with all the key historical facts and irrefutable evidence that point to Christ's resurrection. You can order this important resource by visiting our website at equip.org or by contacting our resource consultants by phone at 888-7000-274. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man after this short break. Don't touch that dial.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today, about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious.
curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
This groundbreaking special edition of the Christian Research Journal focuses on a reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Is it cultic, aberrant, or just different? This special edition of the journal includes Elliot Miller's incisive analysis of the doctrine of the Trinity over and against the heresy of modalism. Also enjoy our regular departments like effective evangelism, reviews such as Dr. Stephen Meyer's important book, Signature in the Cell, our viewpoint regarding abortion and the healthcare debate, and our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Most Christian families in America spend more time preparing for Christmas than preparing for Easter. Yet the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is the defining event in all of human history. This month, for your gift to the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you his Feet flip chart. Pocket-sized and color-coded for easy reference, this new resource will give you a complete defense of Christ's death and resurrection. Don't delay. Order your copy and learn to confidently defend the good news of our resurrected Christ. You can order your laminated flip chart today by going online to equip.org or by calling one of our resource consultants at 1-888-7000-CRI. Now back to more of your questions and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Jonathan, listening on Bot Radio in Springfield, Missouri. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. Hey, I had a question about you. I was just reading the words. Actually, this morning, and I was going through Luke, and I read the genealogy of Christ, and it kind of threw me off because I've always knew that Solomon was in that line, and then it didn't say Solomon. It said Nathan was the son of David, mm-hmm. And then I went back to Matthew, and it said Solomon instead of Nathan. So I kind of wondered why and how come it's like that.
Well, a couple of things. There are different emphases in the genealogy, and therefore Luke has a different purpose in writing his genealogy than Matthew does. And there are also different explanations for the dissimilarities in the genealogies. Matthew is tracing his genealogy through David's son Solomon. Luke traces his genealogy through David's son Nathan. Now, it could be that Matthew's purpose is to provide the legal lineage from Solomon through Joseph, and Luke's purpose is to provide the natural lineage from Nathan through Mary. But that's not the only possible explanation. It could also be that Matthew and Luke are both tracing Joseph's genealogy. Matthew is tracing the legal line, and Luke is tracing the natural line. And the legal line diverges from the natural in that the Levirate law stipulated if a man died without an heir, his genealogy could legally continue through his brother. But here's the bottom line. The fact that there are a number of ways to resolve dissimilarities rules out the notion that these genealogies are contradictory. And ultimately, what I've highlighted in talking about this is that Matthew is writing to a Jewish audience, and that's why his general emphasis is Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham, the heir of David, and the long-awaited king of Israel. Conversely, Luke is writing to a Gentile audience, and therefore he's extending the genealogy past Abraham to Adam. And in doing that, he's highlighting that Christ, the second Adam, is the Savior of all humanity. So I think you have to look fundamentally at the purposes of Luke, his audience, and Matthew, vicariously, his audience.
Right. Which I mean, in that light, it definitely makes sense. But when you're just reading it right there for days, you go, wait a second, you know.
Yeah, I've struggled with this myself over the years. I've got to confess to you, Jonathan, and one of the ways I've come down on this is just to give various explanations, because I'm not absolutely positive, and until I am, I want to give the various explanations. Maybe at some time in the future I'll come to some resolution on this, but I've spoken to many eminent scholars on various viewpoints in this regard. And the one thing, though, that's very satisfying to me is the ways of resolving dissimilarities rules out that the genealogies are contradictory.
Right. Right. Which, I mean, that does make sense, because given the culture and the time and how important genealogies were, the law would, I mean, it makes sense that legally he's showing to the Jewish people that this is where Jesus descended from. And
it's pretty cool how he does it, too, because he has 14 generations from Abraham to David, and then 14 from David to the exile, and 14 from the exile to Christ. And what's very cool about this is the way it's organized into these three groups of 14, which happens to be the numerical equivalent of the Hebrew letters in David's name. Yeah.
That is very neat.
Yeah, it's so cool, because what you have is simultaneously highlighting the most significant names in the lineage of Jesus Christ, not all of them, but the most significant names, and then artistically emphasizing our Lord's identity as Messiah, who forever sits upon the throne of David.
Which, did the writers have foresight, do you believe, to be able to do things like that, or is this just...
Yes.
You know, led by the Spirit.
Yes, they're carried along by the Spirit. I mean, the Spirit does not use them as dictation machines. Their personalities come through, but sure, they're inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Which is just amazing. Yeah. So many little mysteries that you find. Which, I mean, on the topic of contradictions and things like that, really fast, if you have time to touch on the fact that when King Saul went to can't think of the word, but he had a lady call upon...
To the Witch of Endor, are you thinking about?
Yes, that's what I'm thinking, I'm sorry, a medium, in order to call upon Samuel, and then Samuel answered.
Yeah.
How would that work, that a medium could call upon his spirit and he would come back?
Well, what's interesting, if you read that passage, is you see that the medium is completely undone when she sees Samuel. And the reason she's completely undone is because she doesn't expect to see Samuel. So I would say that what's going on is not because the Witch of Endor was able to conjure up Samuel. The miracle of bringing up Samuel from Hades was not performed by her, but in spite of her, it was a sovereign act of God. So there's no sense in which mediums can conjure up the dead. They can do cheap parlor tricks. In this particular case, the deception is exposed because God sovereignly brings up Samuel for his own purposes, and that purpose is to disqualify in no uncertain terms Saul as king of Israel. In fact, you see that the prediction of Saul and his son's deaths were actually given here prophetically.
Yeah, which you said that Samuel came from Hades, so whenever he said, you'll be down here with us, he was letting Saul know where he was going to end up.
Well, Hades is the abode of the dead, and Hades, in biblical language, not only has a place in terms of the presence of God, but a place in terms of torment. And Jesus explains that in Luke chapter 16 with the rich man and Lazarus, where you have the equivalent of Sheol, which is the Hebrew word. You have the Greek word Hades. And Hades was pictured as a place that encompassed both Abraham's bosom and paradise, which is a way of speaking about being in relationship to God, and also a place of torment, which is a way of speaking about being outside of that relationship with God and thus in torment. So it encompassed both those who are regenerate, awaiting the second coming of Jesus Christ, and those who are unregenerate, awaiting eternal conscious torment.
Okay. Very good. Makes sense. Thank you very much.
Hey, you got it. Good talking to you. We'll go back to the phone lines, talk to MC, listening in Warren, Michigan. Hi, MC.
Hello, Mr. Hanegraaff. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
I have been listening to you forever, you know, over the years, but not only that, just listening to you on the phone, I've gotten a tutorial.
Well, thanks for listening.
My goodness, the depth and the clarity of your answers, I mean, are astounding. So much with the compliments, which are heartfelt and true.
Thank you.
My question is this. Well, I heard part of the answer. In regards to oneness apostolic Pentecostalist doctrine.
Yeah.
Okay. One of my buddies, he's a follower of this particular doctrine. Anywhere you see the word one or solely in there in the Bible, you know, you say he jumps right on that to bolster his argument. My question to you is, based upon their teaching that, based upon the Jews believed in monotheism, and that God is only one God, and that there's no such that he puts it, he manifests himself as the Father, manifests himself as the Son, and manifests himself as the Holy Spirit, something like modalism. Are they considered Christians?
Well, they have a completely unrealistic view of God. They have a different God in that they believe in one God who manifests in three manifestations. So the Father becomes the Son and the Son becomes the Holy Spirit. In Christian theology, we believe in one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct. And the belief that one has to be baptized in the name of Jesus only has led oneness Pentecostals to the further error that Jesus is himself the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So they don't hold to one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct, but again, in three manifestations of one God. You can hear from the music, I'm up against a heartbreak. For those of you leaving us right now, remember you can continue to hear the broadcast on the web, connect2equip.org. For everybody else, we'll be right back.
Get ready to set sail for the adventure of a lifetime. Don't miss our Western Caribbean cruise May 9th through 16th. Sailing out of Tampa Bay, Florida, you'll join Hank Hanegraaff and award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp for seven packed days of worship and study on board the stately Carnival Legend. Incredibly low rates include all conference fees, accommodations, and dining. Dates in May make it a perfect way to honor mothers or celebrate special graduates. So for more information or to register today, go to our website at equip.org or call our friends at Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. If you're leaving us now, you can catch more of the Bible Answer Man on our website at equip.org. For everyone else, stay with us. We'll be back after this short break.
The resurrection is not merely important to the Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity.
Human history was changed forever by what happened on that third day. The Third Day by Hank Hanegraaff defends the resurrection of Jesus Christ in meticulous detail. It contains authentic evidence and factual proof for the resurrection, from Christ's torment on the cross to the empty tomb to his appearances and transformation. If you need tangible proof that the Christian faith is based on evidence and not mere emotion, this resource will be an immense help to you.
Belief in the resurrection is not a blind leap into the dark, but faith founded on fact.
The Third Day by Hank Hanegraaff, available in hardbound or CD. Call 888-7000-CRI to order. 888-7000-CRI. Find out more by going to our website,
at www.equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which reaches millions of people. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all of the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2. Plus, all new answers to some of today's toughest questions. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff.
As always, we are delighted to be with you, answering your questions throughout the United States and Canada, Monday through Friday at this time. You can get your question answered on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. Do remember our mailing address, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also access us on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Resource consultants is always available at 888-7000-CRI. If you forgot any of that information, quickest way to access it is on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go right to the phone lines. Talk to Drew, listening on WTRU in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Drew.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
All right. My question is, I would say, around Christmas, I was kind of spiritually born again.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I've kind of really gotten into bad things, like drugs. Those are consistent with sorcery and pornography and those kind of things. And I've been really reading, where it says Jude, where it talks about being plucked up by the roots, being twice dead without, I've just... some things like blasphemous thoughts come into my mind, and I've just been praying and asking for forgiveness, and I'm just wondering if there's really a point where you can't return, if I've crossed it, or do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know exactly what you're saying, and I can tell you on the basis of Scripture that as long as you are asking for forgiveness, you have not reached a point of no return. If you had, your heart would be hardened and you would not care. So as long as you are willing to recognize that you're a sinner, repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ is never going to turn his back on you. But here's what happens, Drew. When you become a genuine believer, you don't have just a said faith where you follow a particular formula, but you have a real faith where you say, with God's help, I am willing to turn from drugs and pornography and the sinful life that I'm engaged in and follow Jesus Christ. Now, the fact that you're willing to do that does not mean that you're going to be victorious in that all of the time. You can slip on board as a believer. You just will never slip overboard because the one who saves you is also the one who sanctifies you. In other words, he begins changing you from the inside out. But for that to happen, you have to engage yourself in the very spiritual disciplines that Jesus Christ modeled during his earthly sojourn. You know, a great football coach, Tom Landry, who used to coach the Dallas Cowboys, used to say that a good coach makes men do what they wouldn't ordinarily do so that they can be what they've always wanted to be. In Christianity, you exercise the spiritual discipline so that you can become like Christ. And therefore, you have to get into the Word of God. You have to memorize the Word of God and meditate upon the Word of God. You have to spend time in prayer. You have to join a healthy, well-balanced church. When you involve yourself in these kinds of disciplines, then you start becoming more and more Christ-like. But if you don't, it's like saying, I want to be a great football player and then never eat. I mean, if you don't eat good physical meals, you're going to experience the physical consequences. And the same thing is true with spiritual meals. If you don't eat good spiritual meals, you're also going to face the spiritual consequences. So with birth must come growth. Exercise the spiritual disciplines. You can't do this as a Lone Ranger believer. When you become a believer, you're born into a family of God.
Okay. What was I just going to ask? In Hebrews it says if you destroy your the Holy Spirit's temple, he'll destroy you. So I was just, you know, that kind of, you know, I had the conviction, you know, I was smoking cigarettes and I was really getting down to, you know, just one a day, and I could really feel, you know, the conviction, and I just, that conviction's kind of leaving now, and I'm just, you know, really terrified at this point, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but, I mean, certainly it is true, not only in Hebrews, but Paul says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have received from God? So we have to be stewards of the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're addicted to nicotine, it doesn't mean that you cannot be a believer. You want to fight that addiction because you want to be a steward of the temple of the Holy Spirit. Same thing is true with those who are overweight. We have to, maybe there's a medical reason for it, but in general, we have to be stewards to the best of our ability of the temple that God has given us. And I'm speaking to myself right now. The same thing is true with respect to, you know, drinking. You can't get drunk. The same thing is true with pornography. Pornography is both a physical sin and a metaphysical sin, because sexual perversions are both physical and metaphysical. They involve the body and the mind. So you have to discipline yourself. And if you have addictions like this, Drew, you have to search for healthy, well-balanced believers that you can fellowship with, so that when you fall, there's someone you're accountable to that you can go to that can help pick you up and rescue you. That's why I say when you're born again, you're born into a family of God, a community of faith. And you can't look at this as I'm going to go this road alone, because you need brothers and sisters to help you. You might want to really read Romans chapter 12 in this regard. But as far as Hebrews is concerned, let me say a word about that. To fall away in the context of Hebrews, written, of course, to Hebrews, refers to a Jew who falls back into Judaism or bondage to the law, which was already fulfilled through the finished work of Jesus Christ. This is a classic example of what I was talking about earlier, someone who professes Christ but does not possess Christ, which is to say, they say they believe, but their life demonstrates that they haven't truly repented, been willing to make a U-turn on the road of life to follow Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So you, on the one hand, you don't want to be bound to legalistic prescriptions, because Christianity is not about legalism, nor is it about license. It is about following Jesus Christ, who fulfilled the law perfectly for you. But once you have followed Jesus Christ, you want to receive him as your Lord as well as your Savior. And as your Lord, he gives your life the meaning, the purpose, and the fulfillment that your life is designed to have. Again, you have to exercise spiritual disciplines. Read your Bible, pray, but above all, be involved in a fellowship that's healthy and well-balanced where you can grow and you can have accountability.
Okay. All right, Hank. Thanks for... Love your program, man.
Hey, thanks, Drew. And don't give up.
All right.
Okay?
Thank you.
You got it, my friend. Appreciate your call. There's an honest guy struggling with issues, is not trying to obfuscate or suppose that the issues aren't real. They're real issues. He's facing up to it. But I can tell you this, anyone that cares deeply about his sin is not beyond the reach of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has not come for those who are 100% well. He's come for the sick. The church ultimately is a hospital for sick people. And it is within the context of the church that Paul urges us to renew our minds, no longer be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so you can test and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, and pleasing will. And that's what all of us want. I've written about the spiritual disciplines in a book called The Covering. Without the covering, which Paul depicts in Ephesians chapter 6, we are guaranteed casualties in spiritual warfare. Satan will have his way with us. But with the covering, we're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not have the book, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil, it is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. And if you've never stood with this ministry prayerfully and financially, may I implore you to do just that. We need you as part of the team. We'll be right back.
In Ephesians 5:15-16, Paul admonishes believers to be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org. or call us at 888-7000-274. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast returns in just a moment.
Outside of the holy words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Bible, the words of men such as Augustine, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards have most stirred the Christian church throughout history.
I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
Now, these timeless works have been captured on CD by master storyteller Max MacLean in a collection called Classics of the Christian Faith. This high-quality compilation contains five of the greatest works by five of the greatest leaders of church history. It will enhance your Christian walk and give you a new appreciation for our rich heritage.
My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help.
Classics of the Christian Faith CD Collection, narrated by Max MacLean. To order, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
A global catastrophe is just hours away, and only one man can stop it. In his hands, he holds the fuse of Armageddon. Fuse of Armageddon, the riveting novel by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. Call 888-7000-CRI to order. Hostage negotiator Mulvaney Quinn must come face-to-face with his past in order to stop the worst terrorist threat of all time, a plot to bring about the ultimate uprising by destroying one of the most sacred relics in history. Only Quinn can stop an unholy trinity of evil from achieving this goal. But will he be in time? Or is it already too late? The entire world hangs in the balance, and failure means Armageddon. Fuse of Armageddon, the explosive novel by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it on our website at equip.org.
Now available for a special discounted price.
When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Every day at the Christian Research Institute, we're encouraged to hear from listeners who share how their lives have been radically changed through the broadcast ministry of CRI and the Bible Answer Man program. And we're excited to help stimulate change agents around the globe. But ministry, especially broadcast radio, requires enormous resources. If the Bible Answer Man program is ministered to you, would you consider standing with us both prayerfully and financially? To donate, call us at 888-7000-274 or visit us on our website at equip.org. And now back to the program with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Dean in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi, Dean.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
I appreciate you taking my call. I've got a quick question. This has to do with some teaching from John MacArthur, who I follow as well. And it's kind of in response to one of your previous programs. You were talking with a caller about the doctrine on the rapture and tribulation and millennial reign. But Dr. MacArthur teaches that there will be a bodily return of Christ before a seven-year tribulation time to translate his church from the earth. And then he goes on and teaches that immediately following the removal of the church, that there'll be the righteous judgment of God poured out on the unbelieving world. And then teaches that after that tribulation period of 7 years, that Christ will return and occupy the throne of David and establish his kingdom for 1,000 years on the earth. I know that you don't necessarily support that type of a teaching. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. But this is a classic example of where we can agree to disagree agreeably. John MacArthur is one of the finest Bible teachers, and not only so, one of the finest examples of a Christian leader I've ever known. I know John well. He's a friend, particularly enjoyed over the years playing golf with him. And we disagree on this point, and it's not inconsequential, but it certainly does not divide us as brothers. If we look at a holistic sense of eschatology, we're looking at the study of end times, and we see in one sense that it is a thread that weaves the tapestry of Scripture into a harmonious pattern. In the global sense, early in Genesis, we have Adam and Eve falling into lives of perpetual sin, terminated by death, and then the rest of the Bible chronicles God's unfolding plan of redemption. And Christians can debate secondary aspects, but we can debate the timing of the tribulation, the meaning of the millennium, but we are united in the truth that just as Christ came to earth once to bear the sins of the world, so too he will return again to gather the elect and to usher in the resurrection of all things. And we agree that on that day the just will be resurrected to eternal life and the unjust to eternal conscious torment. The separation from the love and grace of God that ensues unites us in our passion to communicate the gospel to the lost. But we are, as Christians, unified in the hope that paradise lost is going to become paradise restored, and the problem of sin and Satan will be fully and finally resolved. Again, the details, there are differences. They're significant. We can debate them vigorously, but we don't have to divide over them, nor do we have to be capricious in how we refer to one another. And again, I am just delighted with the ministry of John MacArthur. I have benefited greatly from his friendship, from his teachings. He's been on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and I would, with no hesitation, say that people could be involved in his ministry, support his ministry, and greatly grow as a result of the wisdom that God has imbued him with as a result of his diligent study of the Scriptures.
Well, thank you.
You got it.
Thank you very much.
Hey, appreciate your call. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Susan, listening on Bot Radio in Modesto, California. Hi, Susan.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Since Jesus was both God and man, did he have Mary's DNA, and did he have God's DNA?
Well, let's look at this for a moment. Christian orthodoxy has consistently held that Jesus is one person with two natures, divine and human. So Jesus is fully human and fully divine. Christian orthodoxy has also held that Jesus was an actual child of Mary. And in light of modern science, we would say that Mary passed on her genes to Jesus. So we can rightly say that Mary passed on to Jesus 23 chromosomes. Now, how the other chromosomes came about has to be relegated to mystery. I mean, God could have created those chromosomes because Jesus was fully human. But we don't know, and I don't want to shout where the Bible doesn't shout. We also have to acknowledge that the incarnation is an ultimate miraculous mystery, and because of that, we can't answer every question with respect to it authoritatively. It doesn't defy us with contradictions, but there are things that are left in the realm of mystery, and the reason that doesn't bother me is God is infinite, I am but finite, and a finite person cannot plumb the complete majesty of infinity. We can't even approach it, and we'll spend an eternity attempting to approach it. So again, God has no problem creating the needed 23 chromosomes, but in doing so, we don't say that those 23 chromosomes are divine. Jesus' body is solely by virtue of his humanity, and therefore we're saying he's fully human in the incarnation as well as fully divine. One person with two natures, 100% human, 100% divine.
Well, I just wondered then, if he inherited her DNA, then he would have had her sin nature?
No, to have a human nature is not necessary to have a sin nature.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a human nature is not of necessity a sin nature. Adam and Eve, for example, had human natures, and yet they were born without sin. They were born with a potential for sin because they were created as volitional beings, and therefore they had the ability to choose to love God or to rebel against God, and therefore what God created as a potential, they actualized as a reality.
Okay, well, that's helpful, separating the sinful nature from just the human nature.
Yes.
Well, great.
Well, appreciate you calling, Susan.
Okay, thank you.
God bless you. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to John, listening on KFAX in Castro Valley, California. Hi, John.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm listening to a local minister here who's telling me that in the Old Testament, whenever God spoke or whenever God's actions were manifest to human beings, that was Jesus, also called the angel of the Lord.
Well, I think it's
so
true.
So even when God spoke to and said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased," even in the New Testament, that wasn't God himself speaking, but that was Jesus speaking. And he called it, an anthropomorphic anthropomorphism or something like that.
An anthropomorphism.
Can you help me with clarity on those issues, please?
Yeah, I can try. First of all, it is correct to say that Jesus is the angel of Yahweh in the Old Testament. And so you do have appearances of Christ in the Old Testament. But to say that every time God speaks in the Old Testament, or when the Father spoke at the baptism of Jesus Christ, that that is the Son speaking, I think is an error. What we believe as Christians is in one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct, which is to say that there are subject-object distinctions between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus himself said the Father and the Son are two distinct witnesses and two distinct judges, appealing to an Old Testament mandate for everything to be established by two witnesses. So Jesus appeals to that mandate, and we would say that you have in the Old Testament the Father clearly identified, the Holy Spirit clearly identified, and Jesus Christ clearly identified. Now, anthropomorphisms are simply speaking in the manner of a human being. So God condescends to speak in language that accommodates our frailties. God also manifests himself in theophanies. So in the Old Testament, you have God revealing himself in some physical form. You have Jesus Christ in a Christophany, showing himself in visible form. And then you have angelophanies, where angels actually appear in physical form by God's creative power. Now, demons never do, because demons do not have creative power. So all of these things need to be balanced. You can't simply say every single time. I think that's going beyond what we should say. We can't say every single time there's a manifestation or God speaks, it's Jesus Christ. That simply is not true. I'm going to have to leave it at that. Unfortunately, I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question's on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. You can access us on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And remember the phone lines, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time with more of the show.
Easter is just a few weeks away, and do you know what the celebration is really all about? It's more than colored jelly beans and Easter bunnies. Understanding the facts of Christ's resurrection will radically change the way you view Easter, and indeed the way you live your life. Author Hank Hanegraaff zeroes in on the most convincing details that irrefutably point to the actual death of Jesus, his empty tomb, and post-resurrection appearances. After reading this book by Hank, you'll be able to defend the reality of the resurrection with passion and precision. You can order Resurrection online at equip.org or by calling our resource consultants at 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise Audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation,
N for new creation, and E for eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.